Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. It's a true pleasure to have you with us, and we always say thanks for joining us because we always have amazing guests who are being celebrated here in our program, and we're very excited to have Dr. Janet Pollack here back with us on the show. You know, we've been talking about and hearing in the news so much the Great Resignation, which is the ongoing trend of employees voluntarily leaving their jobs. And believe it or not, more than 20 million workers have left their employers from May through September of 2021 alone. And I believe they said since then there was another 4 million since September that have decided to do the same. Organizations are feeling the effects. You can go into a restaurant, fast food place, retail, and see it in an immediate effect with the lack of workers in those particular jobs, but it's happening across the board. So a question that has come to mind that really hasn't been dealt with previously as a result of the pandemic and everything that we've been dealing with is, how can organizations counter the Great Resignation? This is where Dr. Janet Pollack comes into play. She says it starts with good management. Dr. Pollack is a global leader in leadership development and coaching and the author of The 7 Mistakes New Managers Make and How to Avoid Them and Thrive. She says many new managers don't take the time to actually define what their team does and how they're going to execute it. And that's important to do. Staying connected, developing your team, and giving feedback drives retention because they're getting their cup filled at work. According to Dr. Pollack, the 7 mistakes new managers make are no transition, no plan, not developing your team, failing to give and receive feedback, not developing your power, sticking with the status quo, and not getting ahead of change. The 7 mistakes new managers make, how to avoid them and thrive, is ideal for the new manager who hopes to evolve into a great leader. And each chapter highlights a common challenge new managers will recognize and offer strategies to build the necessary skills to avoid these mistakes and achieve success. As Dr. Pollack says, if we were to address even 5 of these mistakes, we might be able to reverse the Great Resignation and people will be happy to go to work. Our pleasure to welcome her to Close Up Radio for this fascinating conversation. Dr. Pollack, welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a delight to be here.
You are very, very welcome. Very excited to share more about this this concept, and we're going to really dive in, take a deep dive on this half-hour episode of Close Up Radio. Let's begin with your book, The 7 Mistakes New Managers Make, How to Avoid Them and Thrive. With your own experience, Doctor, you could have written a book about anything. What was it about this that really spoke to you, where you wanted to really write about it?
Well, I wrote the book because one hadn't been written. There are volumes and volumes that have been written about servant leadership and leading from the top and executive presence and, delivering for the overall corporation, but there's not much out there for frontline leaders. Let's face it, managers get promoted to managers from being great individual contributors. They've gotten the job done, they can be depended on, they are liked by their colleagues, and so let's make them a manager. And yet most organizations don't spend any time developing these young managers. I think the reason for that is a couple fold. First of all, there's a lot of them. You know, it's easier to develop a handful of senior executives because there's only a handful of them rather than hundreds of frontline managers. I think the other thing, which is a false assumption that organizations make, is they struggle. They think that once they invest in that manager is going to leave and go elsewhere. They're going to be more employable. And yet what we know from the research is that individuals who get invested in by their organization are far more likely to stay than to leave.
That is so true, yes. And that's what's important to realize in all of this. Let's dive into these very specific mistakes. Which ones do you believe impact employee retention the most during this time of the Great Resignation? As I mentioned, there's no transition, no plan, not developing your team, failing to give and receive feedback, not developing your power, sticking with the status quo, and not getting ahead of change.
Yeah. So I'm not going to suggest that great management is the solution to the Great Resignation, but I think it's at least half, if not three quarters of the equation. Because individuals, we believe, are leaving organizations because they're not getting fulfilled any longer. They're not finding meaning. So Chapter 2 is all about that, is helping employees understand what is the plan for the team, not just the organization, but for the entire team. What are we responsible for?
Dr. Pollack?
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you're in the mid-sentence and then just disappeared there, but you can pick up where you left off. Yeah, pick up where you left, maybe rewind two sentences and then carry on from there.
Fair enough. So in terms of, you know, countering the Great Resignation, certainly not having a plan with your team. I think not developing your team. I think that's one of the biggest reasons people leave organizations is they feel stuck, they feel stagnant, they're working hard, they're maybe working more hours than they ever did, and their manager isn't taking time to foster their skills and help them learn new things. I think another one is sticking with the status quo. Chapter number 6 talks about how do you build innovation into your team. I think there's not any greater fun that a team can have is to think about how do you improve a process? How do you get really wacky with some of your brainstorming? The book is filled with lots of tips and techniques on how to create breakthrough thinking with just your team. And so I think helping as a manager, helping you move from the status quo to fostering skills and fostering the way we get the work done are really, really critical skills in addressing this great resignation.
You know, if you're not growing and you're staying in place, but if you're staying in place, you're actually regressing because the world is changing around you, you have to continually grow your team or you're going to move backwards, right? How does a new manager know where to begin?
Well, they ask. It sounds so simple, Jim, but the quick answer is, how do you know what your employee wants to do next? How do you know how to encourage them? You simply have those one-on-one conversations. In the work that I do with teams, the very first place I start is how to have a good, solid, productive one-on-one conversation with your employees, not once a year, but at least once a month, if not every week or every other week. Start by talking to them about what's working well, where do they struggle, and where do they want to develop. And then you as a manager, your job is to help them develop and learn those new skills so that the team is even more effective.
It's really important. That's the bottom line. You know, I would love to go over those 7 mistakes. Maybe we can take them one by one, starting with no transition.
Yeah. So no transition is about not making that transition from individual contributor to manager. So we get promoted and we haven't gotten a lot of training. And so suddenly we just act like we were an individual contributor. We've heard many people say, you know, it's just easier for me to do it myself than to teach you how to do it because it takes time and effort to teach you how to do it. And so many managers struggle for their first 3, 4, 5, 6 months still doing the job that they were doing before they got promoted. So that's what's all about no transition.
And then next we have no plan. So that's just mm-hmm. operating pretty much on the fly, I guess.
It is operating on the fly. You know, you get promoted sometimes from your own team, or maybe they've stood up a brand new team because there's a need in the organization. And so few managers take the time to really define what is our team's role, what are we responsible for, and how are we going to get there. It's a collective process that you do together. You know, maybe you only have a team of 3 or 4 people, but spending an hour or two together to say, okay, here's the purpose of our team, and here's what we're expected to get accomplished. So then everybody's all on the same page.
Mm, that's terrific. That is key. Not always easy.
It is key.
Not always easy, but just having a plan to try to work towards that is so essential. The other thing, too, yeah. is, you know, you have your team in place, and sometimes mm-hmm. you just assume that they'll all meld together beautifully, and, you know, now that they're there, they'll sort of learn by osmosis. You don't have to really develop them. Define for us what developing your team actually is and why it's important to make sure you do develop your team.
Absolutely, Jim. So often we think developing my team means sending them to a workshop. Oh, look, there's a local chamber of commerce that's offering a great offering on influence. I'll just send up my resource there for a day, and I'll be all set. And yet what we know about those kind of trainings, while they're very interesting and helpful, individual employees have a hard time translating what they learned there back onto the job. So what's much more powerful is learning right within the flow of work. And what can a manager do? Well, a couple of things. They can take time in team meetings to ask people, what did you learn this week about the organization or about the way that you do work? You can pair up two individuals to learn from each other. You can create rotational assignments. So one person is doing another person's job for 2 or 3 months and really learns that other person's perspective. But the key here, Jim, is to be very deliberate about that development process. It's not just going to happen automatically. It's not going to just happen because I think it would be a good idea. As a manager, I really have to set the expectation that we're also going to learn in addition to our doing our jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Failing to give and receive feedback. I think feedback is very, very important. And especially, you know, we always hear, we're quick to hear negative from people, but mm-hmm. it's sometimes you got to pull teeth to get anything positive as far as reviews
yep.
and comments and things of that nature from our society. I'm a big believer in positive reinforcement myself, but the failure to give any feedback mm-hmm. can be detrimental because that person could feel not noticed, unwelcomed, yep. Not revered in any way or appreciated, and also they could be constantly making an error that they're not even aware of because you just never took the time to, you may blame them for the error, but not bring it to their attention so they can work on it and correct it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jim. So in the feedback chapter, we talk about, like you said, constructive feedback. And we also talk about giving recognition because that's another kind of feedback. I like to think about feedback as forward-looking. You know, when someone messes up, they weren't prepared for a presentation, for example, and it didn't go very well, they often know that it didn't go very well. And so for a boss to come in and say, you didn't do this right, and you didn't do that right, and you didn't do this right, and you didn't do that right, really doesn't make anything better the next time. So I like to talk about, so, you know, person who wasn't prepared, what would you do differently next time? How do you make sure that next time you present to the executives, you're really, really prepared? In the chapter, I talk about the critical elements of giving feedback. First of all, it has to be factual. Second of all, it has to describe the impact. And then third, like I've already said, it needs to be future-oriented. What are we going to do differently next time? I think a lot of managers fear giving feedback because they think they're going to damage the relationship. But Jim, as you said, if someone's doing something incorrectly over and over again, most people want to know so they'll correct their behavior. So a manager has to not only take time to give feedback, but then also set up the right environment so that other people feel comfortable giving each other feedback as well. You know, we call that a climate of feedback. And I think it's just so important in this remote working conditions that we're operating in. Everybody's got a mask on if they're live and it's hard to hear each other. So building in recognition, but also it's encouraging other people on the team to give each other feedback informally and not just the boss's job.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we talked about not developing your team, but also there's not developing your own power too, right?
Yeah. Yep, there is. That was a fun chapter to write because it's all about influence. When we work in organizations, it really is all about influence. There's never enough resources to go around. So my job as the manager is to get visibility for my team so that my team has the time and resources to get done what it's supposed to get done. So in the chapter, I talk a lot about how do you build credibility and how do you influence others by starting to think about what matters to them. So often, Jim, we think, okay, I'm going to influence you to walk across the street. I want you to walk across the street, but does Jim really want to walk across the street? How do I frame my position from a perspective that will give you a benefit? And that's really what influence and power is all about.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely right. Also, another mistake is sticking with the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
As we've learned, even in the last 2 years, there's no such thing as status quo. The earth keeps turning and life keeps changing and evolving, and, you know, anything can happen. So just resting on laurels and sticking with a quote-unquote status quo could leave you in the dust, but also it can leave lack of imagination and brainstorming and moving forward, and creativity can be left on the table if you're just stuck. And it also can really deplete passion and energy and excitement when people are coming into a place of employment. It's the same old, same old, same old. Then you get into that mindset of, oh, it's just a job. It's not a career. I'm just punching a clock. I don't feel any excitement about it, which leads to great resignations and things of that nature. So sticking, I mean, it's if you have something that's working, you know, stick with that, but continue to grow and evolve and continue to create. Don't just stick with the status quo, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's the chapter in the book is filled with ideas about how to initiate creative thinking. So often with managers that I've worked with, they say, oh, Janet, I don't have a creative bone in my body. I'm not much of an artist. I really don't do anything very unusual. And you know, the thing is, you don't have to, because your team has all the solutions, all the ideas within them. They just have to be asked. So taking time to challenge the status quo as a team is really, really critical. And I think as we've been through COVID now for 18, almost 20 months, taking time as a team to say, what do we need to do differently? As we're getting ready for 2022, what things do we need to stick with, but what do we want to break and try to reformulate, try to do differently? Because those individual employees do have the answer within them. They just sometimes don't get asked. And so they, you know, then the whole team gets stuck.
Right. And That's not so good either when everybody is stuck in place. Not getting ahead of change as well. Tell us about that.
Well, whether as a manager, whether you are implementing a change in your group or higher authority is implementing a change for you, as a manager, your job is still to manage the change. So creating a compelling vision, understanding what's the impact to your team, and then starting to communicate what's the change and why are we changing, allowing employees to ask questions, to provide feedback, creating that two-way communication. It's all about getting ahead of change. Again, whether we're doing it, initiating it ourselves for our group, or it's being done to us, as a manager, as a good leader, we really can take the time to manage it well and to engage people in the process. So once we get past the change actually sticks.
Yes, that's essential. Having it stick, having it stay, and having it be a part of the vernacular. Why do you believe employees are leaving these organizations in such large numbers? I mean, some of it is economic. They don't feel, you know, if they're working at the fast food restaurant, that the minimum wage is enough to really feed your family and have a life, which in many ways it really isn't. But there are others, too. If not economic, it's a personal satisfaction, a wanting to feel inspired and have a greater ability to touch people's lives and inspire in ways that aren't surrounded just around, you know, putting data into the computer and punching the clock from 8 to 5. There's a couple of different reasons why they're leaving. Tell us why you think they are, and in such large numbers.
Well, I do wonder, Jim, if it's contagious. Right now, you know, you quoted that right at the top of the program, 20 million Americans have left their jobs since September, another 4 million. And so I think part of it is that people finally have the courage. They've met a neighbor. They have a friend who has left, and that person is still standing. So I think that that's one of the things. I think, though, that work in the last year and a half has been really, really difficult. Sitting alone in front of your computer is isolating. You know, many of us are still not engaging with friends and sometimes families. And then if the work is drudgery, if you're not learning, if you're not growing, if you're not getting any feedback from your manager, there's nothing in that employment equation that keeps you coming back. And so, you know, the challenge for managers is to get ahead of that. It's very difficult to turn somebody around once they say, boss, I'm quitting, you know, whether I have an offer or not, I'm done. Because that's a big step for an individual, especially if they don't have another job lined up. So as a manager, you have to get ahead of that. You have to talk to your employees, you know, at least once a week to say, how's it going? Where are you struggling? What else can we do as an organization to help you thrive in your role? And I don't think managers are doing that, and I don't think they're doing it because they're afraid of the answer.
That's right. Yeah, and that's key to all of this as well. I mean, did you sort of anticipate this great resignation when this all started, or did this take you back and by surprise as well?
I think, Jim, it did take me back very much. You know, certainly we're all surprised how long this has gone and that we're still trying to figure it out and trying to figure out what our new normal is. I don't think we estimated the financial stability that some of the government programs provided to individuals. And, you know, for a while, when there were so many layoffs in those first 3, 4, 5 months, I think employers adopted a perspective of, well, you should be grateful that you have a job. there's a lot of people that don't. And so they didn't, they abandoned the care and feeding that we need to do with each and every single one of our employees to help them connect with the work that they're doing.
Yes, right. And see, there's this disconnect sometimes, and that can be, again, can precipitate a situation where people are not thriving. And these mistakes we were talking about, the seven mistakes new managers make, how to avoid them and to thrive, not only helps the managers thrive, but also those who surround them who make the magic as well. And so you feel that there is a way to sort of reverse the Great Resignation or maybe lessen it or work through it. How do you look at it all?
Well, I do think there's some good news on the horizon. We're starting to see that individual savings are starting to dwindle. When all of this Great Resignation started to happen, I think we saw it in about April and May, you know, people can't afford to stay out of work forever. And many of them don't have either the financial wherewithal or just the gumption to start their own business. And so I do think in the first quarter of next year, we're going to start to see people coming back to work. But I think as managers and leaders, I think this is a lesson to us all that it's more than just the platitudes in the mission statement that people are our greatest resource. I think this has been a real lesson to all of us that, you know, our employees really matter. And if they're not getting what they need to thrive, they'll find that someplace else.
Yeah, they will, won't they? They absolutely will. And that's a whole other area. You've really, you know, thought this out in such an incredible way. I encourage folks to go to Amazon. They can find the book at Amazon, The Seven Mistakes New Managers Make, How to Avoid Them and Thrive. This is a great read, whether we're dealing with Great Resignations and pandemics and swift change like we're experiencing now, as much as it is when things are going well and everything seems to be sort of semi-predictable, because you always want to, you know, understand the importance of transition, having a plan, developing your team, making sure you give and receive feedback, developing your power, not sticking with the status quo, and getting ahead of change. These are, again, seven mistakes and principles here that are relevant all the time, not just when times are not so great. And I think you've really done a beautiful job in thinking this out. I just want to know that you are the founder of The Lead Incorporated, too, and you offer executive coaching and leadership development for C-suite executives and high-potential leaders as well. And if folks want to go to the website to learn more about those opportunities, they can go to www.intheLead.co. That's intheLead.co. Dr. Pollack, always a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks so much for imparting your wit and wisdom once again on all of us. And we take great heed and understanding in all of this and appreciate it and hope to get a chance to explore some more. And with the new year approaching, these are incredible things to incorporate, you know, in our lives now. So 2022 can start off, you know, with a bang in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Thank you so much. It's a subject that is just so exciting and dear to my heart. And, you know,
Yeah, it really, really is. And it's evident, you know, just in these conversations that you're all in with it. I encourage folks to make contact and to learn more. We thank Dr. Janet Pollack for joining us here on Close Up Radio. We thank you as well. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest to celebrate right here on the program. Till then, for all of us, thanks for being with us. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.